Now, there was rhetoric before democracy, of course, just as there was public speaking. You can find it in the Homeric poems. But even in the 5th century, rhetorical theory as such was still in its infancy. But as Thucydides tells us, it was the visit to Athens of Gorgias from the town of Leontini in Sicily in the year 427 that affected the Athenians more than anything else. Gorgias appeared before the assembly asking the people for help against Syracuse. And the Athenians were apparently so mesmerized by his performance that they gave him that help. Now, here we are in the 4th year or so of the Peloponnesian War. The Athenians are recovering from a crippling plague, all of which we'll come on to in due course. The last thing they ought to have been doing was agreeing to give a representative from the town of Leontini in Sicily assistance against Syracuse, the most powerful polis on Sicily. But they were won over by Gorgias's oratorical prowess. Later, Gorgias would return to Athens, and he taught rhetoric there and elsewhere in Greece, for a fee, of course. What Gorgias taught was the means for anyone, no matter how inexpert he was, to speak on any subject and persuade the listeners he was right. That for Gorgias was the most important thing. Not morality, not taking part in political life because one genuinely wants to make a difference. For Gorgias, the most important thing was being able to use words to persuade an audience either in a political gathering or in a law court. To Gorgias, arguments based on the probability carried more weight than the truth. Now, this argument based on probability, the Greek word is eikota, and sometimes we see it written as to eikos, the probable. What that means is that you are constructing a case based on someone probably doing the thing, and therefore he's guilty. In a court of law, for example, you might say to the jurors, gentlemen of the jury, the defendant has stolen sheep before, so he's probably stolen the sheep now. That's why he's on trial. No wonder Plato condemned Gorgias and the whole theory of probability, because it had nothing to do with the facts. Of course, people lapped this up. This is the sort of thing that would be akin to a modern get-rich scheme, just about. At the same time, rhetoric was a seriously intellectual study. Before long, rhetoric had become an integral part of education. Aristotle would call it a techne, an art form. And rhetoric becomes a fundamental basis, if you like, to the Roman system of education, just as it does down to today. Look at the number of departments or programs in rhetoric or communication in any university. It all hails back to the Greeks. But as well as an intellectual area of study, rhetoric, or rather its practical application, oratory, was the key to influence in a state. Now, this is true not just in the political arena of the assembly or the boule, but also the judicial arena, the law courts, as we'll see. Because rhetoric and your oratorical prowess meant that you could sway people from individuals to a large gathering of people, as in the assembly, that came to be seen as the key to success. Now, not all speakers would be able to take advantage of a rhetorical training, or perhaps they didn't even need it. Some men would have been savvy enough to see how things were done, to see how things were said, just by attending assembly meetings. But rhetoric didn't just bring about the end of public speaking as the preserve of the aristocrats, because non-nobles weren't merely speaking in debates, but were advising on policy and then proposing it.